Recording is on.
All right. Welcome, everyone. This is February 8th, 2022. This is the Verifiable Credentials API call. Let me get our agenda in here. So today on our agenda is just this agenda review, introductions, and any relevant community updates. The next item up is a continuation of our discussion last week, which is the VC API, trying to converge on the workflow and holder presentation proposals. And then if we have time, that's expected to be the majority of the call. If we have time, we will spend it on issue processing, specifically the controller style endpoint pattern we've been using and if that was a bad idea or not, or if we want to change it. And then workflow IDs and names and anything else that comes up. Is there anything else that folks would like to cover today on the call? Okay. If not, introductions and reintroductions. Do we have anyone new on the call today? I know that at least Coyote, Troy, you guys haven't been here for a while. Would you mind doing a quick reintro?
Sure. Thanks, Manu. Yeah, my name is Coyote Ezike. I have kind of been in this space for maybe 2 or 3 years now. I first kind of got my foray into it via work that I was doing with Solid while I was in school, and then recently started to work on started to support the DCC and the work they're doing alongside Dimitri and others, and been involved with the VC API implementation that we're doing there. And so I figured it would be good to keep abreast with developments here. Can't promise that I'll be able to attend all of these, but I'll try my best to, and also to follow the issues that are submitted. So glad to be here. Thank you.
Wonderful. Welcome, as always. Wonderful to have you here. Troy.
Yeah, I'll just be quick. My name is Troy Ronda. I work at SecureKey. I lead one of our development teams working on our platform called TrustBlock, dealing with verifiable credentials and decentralized identifiers.
Wonderful and welcome. Always great to have you here. Next up are community updates. Any updates that the community should know about, be aware of, anything of that nature? All right. I don't have anything for today. So let's go ahead and jump into the main topic then. Let me go ahead with the topic in here. So the topic's VC API, workflow, and holder convergence. We have had a pull request out for about a week now that has been getting a decent amount of discussion. And I think what we're going to try and do today is spend the majority of the call trying to converge on what needs to be changed, what we can merge, things of that nature with this PR. Let me kind of do a quick intro to the PR. On the last VC API call, there was a desire to try and converge the workflow proposal that was in the spec with the presentation exchange flows that have been in there for a while. The traceability folks have been using the presentation exchange flows for the traceability work. There is a desire to use some variation of these four endpoints, just converge them into two so that we can So one, the traceability folks can continue to use those APIs, the same shape of those APIs for their use cases, but we also are enabled to do things like credential refresh and other kind of flows through a converged API. So the purpose of the PR is to merge these two kind of approaches, which are very close. One of them is a superset of the other, into one thing so that we can all, you know, have basically two endpoints that we can run all of these interactions off of. One of the big things that we mentioned last week was the language around it's probably wrong, and we want to use the word exchanges. That was suggested by Joe. So that wording has gone in there. There was a suggestion by, I believe, Mike Prokrock and Mahmood that we use, transaction identifiers and exchange identifiers. So that has been put in there as well. And there's been a lot of review, over the past couple of days. There are some misalignments and disagreements still. And so I think what we're going to try and do on the call is figure out what needs to change with the PR or what needs to come out of the PR, for it to be merged. Let me pause here and see if Mike P, Mahmood, or Ori, if y'all want to provide any analysis on the PR before we kind of dive into it.
I can go first and then hand the ball to Ori. I think this is a great in the right direction one, and I think there's a lot in there, like things like error handling and stuff that we know we already kind of want in across the board. So there's stuff like that that I think we could kind of almost take in as is. And I think I've noticed that some of the stuff there seems to be broad agreement on in the PR. There are still some areas for improvement though, right? And then probably room for extension. So I think if we can get it to where, hey, here's this common stuff we're ready to go pull in, and then you know, either myself or someone else could go in and, issue a second PR to then start hashing out some of the details on some of the other things might be a good path. I'm not sure. Ori, I know you've got some direct thoughts, probably more explicitly, right? Or is your audio working?
All right, it just takes me a second to find the browser that I never use, aka Firefox. I think at this point, the fastest, most effective way of moving forward would be to merge the PR with its current problems and to have either Mike or Mahmood do a follow-up PR that addresses their specific concerns. It seems like we're sort of asking Manu to divine what exactly you're meaning, which he's doing his best at, but it'd probably be faster if you guys just did a follow-up PR. That would be my recommendation.
I mean, I'm good with that. Ori, my concern was that there was, I think your biggest concern was this transaction ID thing or transaction UID thing. I just want to make sure that you don't have so let me try and summarize what I think is being suggested. So, Ori, you're saying just merge the whole thing in. Mike, you are saying, hey, I want, let me point specifically to the comments so that other people can see it. So if everyone goes to that link there. So Mike, you're saying, I want, the post on exchange ID transaction UID to be changed to a put. And so I totally get that. I can do that in this PR. But then Mike, you're saying I also want gets to exchange ID / transaction ID.
I think this is worthwhile speaking about a little bit because I think there may have been just from communications and reading through comments and stuff. I think there may be some misunderstandings, at least in how I was looking at this. So when I look at like a path that is, an exchanges collection, right? A collection of exchanges slash some type of thing, slash then the actual entity that's being referred to, that type of key, that type of exchange was key in my mind, right? That, I want to go initiate some, you know, type of exchange around like a credential refresh or a pass this along, this data along to someone else or start some kind of a defined flow based on an ID. And then the individual elements of that would be referenced by that transaction UID. And so that was in my brain, the way things were going. And I'm not sure that came across fully there. So this is why I was saying, like, if we want to go create an exchange of some type, we would do that with a post. We may not need that second ID there, though, depending on how we do this, right? So, and so, but basically, as a rule of thumb, like, we're going to want to post if we're creating it. And if we're specifying the type of thing that's getting created, we probably want to do that in the URI as well as in the body, right? And so that was my comment in there that I think you linked to. But then if you're updating a specific thing, right, doing an upsert or something else, and you have a known ID, that's where the put comes into play. Those kind of imply that you may want to, once again, right, like request a getter off of this, right? Is this some stateful thing that's being stored on the server and or not, and or deleted? And that's where you get into things like gets and deletes by an ID, right? Or to get all types of exchanges, matching some known pattern, right? One other note of clarity is that my little edit to note about putting the query in the path, like I'm totally good with putting a query in a path. Like I'm actually a fan of that. Some folks do like to try to put queries in bodies, but I when I'm doing gets, I generally like a get does not necessarily imply a body to me. Right. And in fact, usually doesn't imply some kind of request body. So that's just philosophically how I think about that stuff. And if we look at other APIs that deal with some kinds of stateful data, that tends to be a pattern that we see broadly.
Got it. Dimitri, you're up.
The bit I wanted to clarify is transaction ID required in this flow? Or to put it another way, is it possible to use for a client to use the exchange ID endpoint without knowing the transaction?
That's a good question. Justin, I think you're up. Is that you, rather?
Yes. Okay. So I just wanted to make a quick point for those that don't, that aren't following it. The HTTP working group, is actually currently working on, a new definition for a new verb type, which would be a get with a message body, because get does not have a message entity body as per HTTP itself. So that is something to consider when looking at the application of put and post to do get-like operations. This is a known limitation of HTTP, and it's something that this, as a new API, might want to, you know, earmark for future use and compatibility, and potentially join the conversation in the HTTP working group. The current name of that method is query. I suggested it be named getFAT, but that was not accepted.
Thank you, Justin. That's super helpful. I certainly didn't know that was going on. Why did I put myself in the queue? I totally forget. Okay, so just to be clear, I think So Mike, I think what you're, everything you're saying is not a surprise to me. So at least I understood that. Oh, I put myself on the queue for, do you have to use transaction ID? Dimitri, I think unknown right now. I think, I mean, take a look at the OAS file. Transaction ID presumes that you have done a post here and have been given a transaction ID to use, or you got it out of band.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. So got when it. when you post to Exchange's Exchange ID, you will be given a transaction ID to use for the next step in the process. I think that's the, I think that's where folks are right now. And to be clear, the only thing the PR defines are these two things. Mike, you're suggesting we should do a get, you know, potentially a get here, potentially query. These are other PRs. Let me just state. I think, Mike, these are other PRs that you're going to write.
Correct. Those would be follow-ons. I just wanted to note that, like, hey, if we're talking about things that may have stayed on the server somewhere, we've got to go deal with those things because there's a gap on the credential side as well, right? If you think about credentials as a collection of things, right?
Okay, good. So I'm hearing that we have agreement. I will update this to a put. That needs to be done. The PR to a put, and then I will merge everything. And then Mike, you're going to follow up with PRs for these endpoint definitions.
Yeah, for getters, deletes, and I will likely do that PR across the board anywhere we have a collection that may be stapled because we kind of need that. So,
okay. Can you please do those as separate PRs and not one massive PR?
Yes, I will do it by the path. So it'll be like, here's a get and a put. Anywhere like we're missing an implied method that's blocking functionality, right? Mm-hmm. I would do, oh, it's a credential thing. So it's here's the credential stuff as one PR. Oh, here's this exchanges thing. Like here's, you know, some corrections on that and then a follow on PR that adds any getters or deletes, et cetera.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I think that's the path forward for this PR. I should be able to do those things by the end of tomorrow, and put it in there. And then Mike, you can start basing yours off of that. With this PR in, I think we have everything that we would need to do the credential refresh stuff and a couple of other things that are needed. Brian, you're on the queue. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'll be brief because we got a dog barking at me. I was just wondering how come we're going with UUID and being that specific instead of just ID?
That is an excellent question. There was some amount of discussion in here over that. I think, Ori, you suggested, look, if we're going to do these types of IDs, we should define a type and use it across the entire API where it makes sense to do so, like a transaction ID. I then suggested, well, I know that we want to use the multi-base encoded 128-bit values, and some people want to use UUIDs, so if we're going to have a universal type, it might contain both of those things. And I think that there are, I mean, and then we need to hear from everybody else. If people are like, no, that's too restrictive, or like, that's really weird, why are you doing two different types of ID formats? We need to hear from everyone. But my expectation is someone would have to do a PR. I can volunteer to do that PR, and then the group would need to jump in and comment on the PR. Brian, does that give you at least some amount of, that's, I think, where we're,
yep,
where we're headed.
Cool.
Okay. Let's see. Mahmood, you're on the queue. Go ahead.
I had a quick point. So to me, transaction ID being a UUID or something similar, that makes a lot of sense just because this is an instance of a thing. The types, the exchange ID, I'm not sure if that needs to be a UUID or similar to that. It could just be like a type of some sort, right? Like, one of the examples that I gave was this is an exchange for a transfer of oil credentials. And so it would just be a named thing, or we would need a way to translate that ID to a named, like, I think there's an implied endpoint of what are all the transaction IDs that you support as an API. That would be basically a get endpoint, and then you can translate those IDs to what that means.
Great. Thank you, Mahmood. Mike, you're on the queue.
Yeah, that's actually kind of what I queued to ask about, because there's kind of two ways we can go here, right? One is to say, hey, we've got these exchanges. We want to specify the type explicitly in the path. So like, exchanges, you know, ag path or ID age verification slash then the ID of the actual instance of that thing. The other way is if you're just posting to create to exchanges and you're not specifying, like, you know, perhaps that type is specified by, you know, a VP request, et cetera, right into that. Like, oh, nope, here's my, I'm posting a VP request in there, and the type is handled entirely by that VP request. And then in that case, that exchange ID just goes away, right? All we're dealing with is once an exchange created with an ID, that ID then gets referenced. So it simplifies things down a little bit from a pathing standpoint. But those are the two ways we could go there. And I would love some feedback on that. From Ori and Mahmood as to thoughts on that, because like I have soft preferences one way versus the other. I'm obviously leaning a little bit towards like specify the type in the path, because that's what I think I suggested in the last meeting or the meeting before that.
All right. So I just put myself on the queue. The exchange IDs, Mahmood, the current regex for it, the only thing that we require is it starts with A through Z or 0 through 9, and then you have at least three characters. So the suggestion is that at least DigiBazaar would like the possibility of putting a human-readable string in there of some kind. Where the ID can be human readable, it is possible for that to be a legal, thing. So for like credential dash refresh, we want to be able to do like exchanges slash credential refresh or exchanges slash credential refresh slash some kind of transaction ID. Anyway, that's our use case. Mike, going to your like, you should be able to post to exchanges. That gives me a little bit of heartburn. But, you know, it would be good to kind of understand what the use case is in detail there. So I don't want to say like, no, let's not do that, but I'm a bit, concerned about that. Anyway, Mahmood, the point you're making about like, yeah, they're transaction IDs and those are like 128-bit numbers mapped to some kind of scheme representation, UUID or multibase encoded 128-bit number. Those are transaction IDs. But the exchange IDs can't be those things. Or we also need the option of them being human readable strings. Or you're on the queue next.
Yeah, so you can use an any of representation, an open API specification, you know, free, that would cover your slug human readable possibility. It would also cover patterns for recognizing UUID V4 or whatever other types you wanted to make valid for that parameter beyond just specifying a string. So you can do all of those things and provide good examples in the API documentation for all of them. That's it.
Yeah, plus when we're doing that, and I tried to do that in this PR. Mike, Pro Rock here on the queue.
Yeah. And I agree with what Ori just said. I guess the question is, because I saw Ori in the chat suggested just having it as like exchanges as kind of the root path and then ID to refer to the instance. I think Manu, the way that would be like if you wanted to get exchanges of a certain type, like credential refresh, you would do a get with a query that says, I need things that match this particular JSON example that I just gave you, that happens to include the specification of credential refresh, right? And you would get back all those credential refresh items. So I think that's the philosophical question is, do we want the ability to specify that type of, of exchange that's occurring in the URI, in the path itself? Or do we want a more generic system that says, it's just we're handling exchange data and type is defined as, you know, a subtype of the VP request spec or whatever is getting passed through. So, and yes, I know a get is not, but yeah, creating one, right? So if you're posting and saying, yep, I want to start an exchange, instead of saying, I want to start an exchange / credential refresh, and therefore I'm posting to that, I create a credential refresh path that's starting up. Basically, is the fact that it's credential refresh, is that specified in the body of the post, or is that specified in the path? And that's, I think, the philosophical question there. And I saw Ori in the chat, like I said, just say, no, it's basically we want to specify that typing in the body. What was initially proposed and is in this PR right now is to say, that type is specified by an exchange ID in the way the PR is now in the path itself. And then you're getting ID back. Does that make sense, or did I just muddle things up?
I think I understand what you're saying, Mike, but only because I've read all the comments in PR 258. Yeah. Just to be clear, one of the use cases we gave, so DigiBazaar has a use case where we're processing these things, you know, at scale. So the True Age program, it's, you know, 60 million, you know, of these types of calls, per day. The way a lot of load balancers, you know, Azure and GCP and AWS work, is that, if you can, look at the URL to do the load balancing, that is way more effective than if you have to go and look into the body. Meaning that if you have to invoke a JSON parser to go and find something in a JSON thing to figure out where you're going to direct this, request, many load balancing frameworks don't support that. They just support it based on the URL. I will also note that GET and query parameter style stuff is not a use case for us. You know, we just have this fairly simple collections thing. You've got exchanges. It's a collection of types of exchanges. So you have types of exchanges in there. And then we want to be able to post to a certain type of exchange to initiate a very specific, flow. Okay. Just to close this PR out though, I think we have a clear path forward. I haven't heard anyone object to kind of merging in the PR, modifying that post to a put, and then Mike working on top of that. So let's go ahead and do that and then move on to our next item. Let me pause for maybe 15 seconds for someone to object, and then we'll move on. All right, we are on to issue processing, 10 minutes ahead of schedule, which is great. Means we actually agreed to something. Issue 257 is the next item up. I will put this in chat as well. Okay, so this one's kind of a bigger conversation. Doubt we're going to get to any kind of resolution on it on the call today. But a while ago, like a year and a half ago, we had decided on this control style endpoint naming pattern. Basically what that means is we have, let me try and pull up the VC API just to provide an example. So in the spec today, what's a good example of this? Let me find a different one. maybe this, right? So correct me if I'm wrong, Mike or Ori or Mahmood. But this is the controller style endpoint naming. It's kind of got a verb. So you've got your kind of collection and you've kind of got a verb at the end of it. And that's viewed as a legitimate way of doing some, of doing this.
It maps the function invocation logically.
Yeah.
Yep. The verb as a function and its post body as the arguments, its network response as the output of the function. And you can have side effects or no side effects. But that's the idea behind the controller style naming convention.
Yeah. So this is what we picked the first time through. And, you know, we had consensus and we've mocked the whole thing up like this. But one of the things that, I think has been brought up lately was, do we want to do that? Like, isn't credentials a collection? And do we want to give credentials specific IDs in that collection? So, do we want to go that route? And if we do, how do we map all of the endpoints over to that, right? So this is just a conversation about that. Do we want to keep the controller style endpoint naming, or do we want to at least look at proposals for what it would look like to do the other pattern? Mike, go ahead. You're on the queue.
Yeah, I think, and I think Ori noted this as well in the chat, but it's not an either or. It's more of a which for which, right? So when we look at a method like, you know, credentials derive, right? You're posting that, you're saying, here's this body that says, I want to go create a new thing that's derived from some other credential, right? Cool. That makes sense for a controller style endpoint. But if I want to go get a credential, right, from a collection of credentials, to see if it was revoked or not. Then I want to get credentials slash the ID of the credential I'm trying to get in order to go retrieve that exact credential and say, yeah, let me look at some things about this, right? Assuming I'm authorized to do that. And so I think that's the thing, is it's not so much that it's an either or, it's a, you know, are we using the right things appropriately in the right places? Does that make sense? So like, for instance, post credentials issue makes sense to me because it creates a credential, right? Whereas in the case of credential post credential status there, if it's already issued, it probably has an ID. So we probably want it to be a put there, right? You know, potentially, right? It depends. There's arguments on this, right? But those are things that we need to be thinking about.
Go ahead, Ori. You're up.
Yeah, so, you know, with respect to using path parameters, right, you need to think about what is the domain of the path parameter. You know, are you going to – do you have IDs that are URLs, in which case you're sort of nesting a URL inside of another URL? That happens a lot with linked data and really nasty ways. So oftentimes you want, you know, to, you know, encode that kind of thing with a query parameter or do some other kind of approach. So I think the thing, you know, if you're going to mix collection, first of all, I would say collection style endpoints generally only work when you are the resource server operator and you are assigning the ID. If you need to build an API that handles things that are identified with IDs that you didn't create the ID, the collection style naming convention will get in your way all over the place because you'll be trying to take an ID that somebody else made and put it into your path, but they made their ID a URL. So like you have to think about what is the structure of the data that you're going to be building this API around. And I think, you know, my experience with the controller style naming convention is very flexible because you're dealing in JSON arguments, you know, so you can handle things like, you know, URL reserved character collisions really easily. But it does sort of make the entire endpoint sort of look like a function sort of method style interface instead of like collection oriented interfaces. That's it.
Yeah. So like all good points. So we at Digital Bazaar had tried collection style endpoints for credentials and quickly hit up against what Ori is mentioning, meaning that the second we had an ID that was not, you know, issued by us, all of a sudden we had really ugly URL encoded things being put into the collection. So that's certainly a concern. The other concern had to do with privacy. So, you know, in some cases, URLs are logged pretty aggressively in server logs, and you kind of leak what's happening, you know, when you do that. There's an upside to that, right, which is the whole, like, load balancing frameworks not having to reach deep into the HTTP message to pull out, you know, where to load balance to, if they even have that capability. So there are benefits and drawbacks. There's, you know, I think all of us know there's no clean, there's no clean decision we can make right now unless we know every single endpoint that we're going to have in the API, and that none of them are going to fall victim to, you know, one downside or the other. So, you know, I think I'm not hearing people object to at least seeing some proposals. And then just kind of going from there, right? Because we already, I think if we pull this PR in, this merge PR, the workflow holder API or holder exchange workflow PR in, we have a demonstration of a collection now, where the server is in control of the naming, and maybe that can be the rule that we use for all the endpoints, where if it is something that the server is has control over, maybe at that point a collection-based endpoint makes sense. And if it is something where the server does not have control over that URL, meaning it's just could be another URL, that may be a good argument for the kind of object function style interfaces. Thoughts? Go ahead, Ori.
So we added get credentials to the trace interop profile because you can't actually test replication without that endpoint. So we support, you know, a get style interface, which is of the form credentials/credential ID. And it returns a JSON-LD verifiable credential that is a revocation list verifiable credential. And this is sort of required to actually test end to end the concept of the update credential status feature, which is in the current API that we're looking at here. So I'm just sort of stating the obvious, like you can't really use revocation lists if you can't get them. And if you're using a URL to identify them, then you need to get them by that URL. Thanks.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, Ori. Go ahead, Mike Prorock.
Yeah, and I was going to note, because I think there's a couple of things. Like, I think it's easy to think that we're, obfuscating potential privacy leakage by hiding stuff out of the URI, you know, as far as URLs go and stuff like that, or IDs. The reality is, I think anyone that we would really be concerned about is looking at far more than just the URI logs and scanning through a lot more than that. We also can do sane things like specify that it, you know, an ID that you're getting a issue, you know, when you issue a credential and you hand back some ID that you're going to go look up, there are ways to specify that that's not leaking information, et cetera. Right. So I think there are things that we have to think through here, cleanly here. We also do reliably need a way, even if it's just defined for internal use or authenticated use only, you know, to be able to check the revocation status stuff, as Ori mentioned.
All right. So, Justin, would you mind vocalizing what you said in the chat channel? Because I think it's important. And then we can go into next steps here. if you want to. All right, let's go into next steps then. So it sounds like the next step is the group is open to the possibility of having collection style endpoints. And if someone feels strongly about having a collection style endpoint or changing one of the endpoints we have right now to a collection style endpoint, they should make a proposal. Would anyone object to that characterization? All right, I will make a note of that then. Okay, so with that, should we close the issue? Any objections for closing the issue? Because that's kind of the resolution there, is if folks want to do collection style naming conventions, submit a PR and we'll think about it. Any objections to closing? Hearing none, closing the issue. All right, next item up is workflow IDs and names. We might have actually made some progress on this. The link is in IRC. This is PR 256, or sorry, issue 256. Should workflow IDs and names be provided in the URL or the post body? There's been quite a bit of back and forth here. I think we already kind of sort of talked about this, and the conclusion seems to be that we're okay with allowing them, but we need PRs with concrete suggestions. Let me pause there. Ori, you were involved in this discussion. You know, Mike, so were you. What thoughts on this one? Go ahead, Mike, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I think we kind of hashed it out in the review of that last PR, right, which is that we kind of want the IDs and whatnot, or at least especially the ID at both, you know, per kind of normal conventions there. And so subsequent PRs to clean things up might refine this, but that when we're representing a core ID that, you know, we're doing some kind of 128-bit, you know, conforming to a scheme, et cetera, right? There are clean ways to attack that that seem to be amenable to folks. And when there are items that, we may want like a human readable for in some cases, like slash credential refresh, you know, off of exchanges, that there may be others who might say, yeah, but I want that explicitly not human readable or based on some UID, and that's also okay, right? So depending on what it is, I think we've got some flexibility to not paint ourselves into a corner here. I see Ori just commented. So I don't know if he has further comments, but I think as long as we're cleanly specifying the types in the OpenID specification, we're okay.
Yeah, and I think you meant OAS specification, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Ori, thoughts?
I think Mike covered it. You know, we're defining an HTTP API, the post body, JSON structures, the endpoint definitions. You know, we should strive to be as precise as we can so that we can rely on good validation tools, you know, for OWASP. So when we say it's a string, it's not very helpful because, you know, there's lots of valid strings out there, right? Is it allowed to be a script tag? No, let's be clear, right? So I think that's the main point I'm trying to make is we should try and be as clear as we can, but when we reach the edge of consensus, when somebody wants human readable and somebody wants definitely not human readable, we can sort of support both of those things with schemas that we define concretely.
Okay. And I'm hearing us all agree. I typed something up. So the group discussed this on the February 8th telecon. The group is open to placing IDs and names in a URL, but require PRs to explore the specific use of ID or name for a particular use case. It is expected that any path parameters need to be very clearly defined with generous examples in the PRs. Any objections to making that our finding in closing the issue?
I mean, I think Mahmood's comment here probably deserves a separate issue, but I think he should open a separate issue and then we should close this particular issue.
Plus one to that. Mahmood, would you mind opening an issue?
Not a problem.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. I'm commenting on this one and then closing this one. And then Mahmood's opening a new one to address his types. All right. Let's see. That exhausts the issues that we had scheduled. We have 10 minutes left looking at... Are there any other issues that folks feel are of high priority, like we should definitely talk about them today? Otherwise, I'm just going to hunt for something that looks.
The only request I would have would be a 5-minute break between now and 5 o'clock
okay.
Eastern time.
Okay.
For functionality reasons.
Yeah. No, got it. How about, let's queue up a discussion for next week. We really should talk about the credential status thing. I think are the Trace folks concerned about this endpoint? Or does it?
Highly.
Okay. All right. So let's put that on the agenda for next week. And then Mike, if you have your PRs, ready, we can talk about those on next week as well.
Yeah. And you said you're planning on merging what, like tomorrow, Thursday, sometime, something like that?
Yeah. I'm going to try for tomorrow.
Okay. I should be able to knock them out over the weekend, I think.
So. Okay. All right. I'll try early in the day Wednesday, but we'll see how that goes. Okay. Then, with that, that's it for the call today. Any last words before we end the call? All right. Thanks everyone. Again, great progress. We've been making a lot of progress, over the last 2 weeks. Appreciate that. Let's keep up the pace and get those PRs in. All right. Thanks everyone. Have a great rest of the day. Chat with y'all later in the week. And if not, next week. Bye.